Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God, brought to you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, WWBC 1510 AM. My name is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. Privileged to be there and serving with alongside such great people. Yesterday, I talked about what blessings my daughters are. One of them is having a wonderful, wonderful celebration this coming weekend. And so happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, I love you. Happy birthday to you. And a lot of people request that I never sing after hearing my singing. A couple of times I've tried to break into a chorus in my preaching and started off in the key of R. There is no key of R, and there was nobody who could hit the notes that I was hitting or the melody that I was failing to accompany. So anyway, we want to wish her a happy birthday this weekend. I do want to say thank you also to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. When I was growing up, I had a car that I'd drive to college. I was commuting back and forth, and that car broke down at the most inconvenient times in the most inconvenient places. And, you know, I don't know if you've got an air conditioner that got a little bit of age on it. Maybe it doesn't get maintained real well. But I will tell you this, there is no convenient time for an air conditioner down. You need to write this number down, 321-759-3284. If you're in Central Brevard County here, 321-759-3284, because sooner or later, your air conditioner is going to need some TLC. And you don't want somebody coming in and fixing that unit that is looking at you as their next source of financial abundance. You want somebody who's going to come in and say, you know what, this is what's wrong with it. A lot of times there are people who help invent problems so that they can fix those problems. Creative AC Solutions is not going to do that. They deal with people with a righteous standard. They want to help you get your system up and running. Sometimes they have had great news for people. One of the listeners of this program called Creative AC Solutions. They had been told that their air conditioning system needed to be replaced. They called Creative AC Solutions out there, and they said, your system doesn't need to be replaced. It just needs a part to be replaced. And so they got quite a bit of service out of that. Other times, Bill has been and looked at our air conditioner and fixed our air conditioner at church, and he would say, Pastor, I fixed it, but there is only so much I can do, and that system is reaching the limit of what I'm going to be able to fix. That system had been in place for 20 years, and so he said, what you need to do is you need to start saving your money so that we can put in a new system for you here. Told us how much we were needing, and when the time came, we said, you know what, we've got those funds saved. And he said, all I ask is, would you let me do that in the cool of the winter instead of having to do it in the heat of the summer? And we were able to accommodate that. What I'm telling you is that Creative AC Solutions, they're going to deal with you in a fair and reasonable manner, They will treat you well. They'll get your system up and running, and you will be glad to have a trustworthy person that you can deal with. So, Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. So, I want to take this opportunity one more time to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. We're going to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, this week, 10:30 of a morning, 6:30 of an evening. We have Sunday school that starts at 9:30, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. And with that being said, we're going to take you this morning. Our text right now is John chapter 16 and verse number 13. And that particular verse, I'm turning to that particular page right now, says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." We're talking about that God leads us into all truth. God, the Holy Spirit, leads us into all truth. Now, one of the things that tells me is that on my own, I'm not going to be in absolute truth. I need a guide. I need someone who will journey with me through that process. And thank God that the Holy Spirit has been commissioned and volunteers to take that journey with me. And I'm thankful that it's not a short journey. It is a lifelong journey. I want to continue to be learning more about God all the way until my final breath, my transition into eternity. Thank God that he wants to bring us into all truth. I don't know how that makes you feel. See, the devil wants to lie to you. And I've got this mindset that whenever a person lies to me, that they look at me and they see that I've got a great big L over my head, that they think I'm a loser and that I'm an idiot, and then I'm just going to believe everything that they say just because they said it. The Holy Spirit brings us into absolute truth. He causes us to understand when the enemy is lying. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the discerning of spirits. And I will tell you, through much trial and error, I have found that listening to the Holy Spirit is a lot smarter than just blowing through the spiritual stop signs that he puts in front of you. There are the Bible says that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, things that are opposed to God. There are people who are following deceiving spirits. There are people who are used by deceiving spirits. We need the Spirit of God operating in our life. So, Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or you do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." We're going to stop reading there. I want you to know that God's going to judge according to truth, not the truth that has been presented to him from a slanted perspective. The Bible talks about that there is one side that presents their case and it seems right until the other side gets up and presents their case. And then all of a sudden you realize that there are two or possibly three sides to the truth. There is this person's perception of the truth, this person's perception of the truth, and in between is probably the actual truth. When I was working retail, I used to listen to all sorts of different news broadcasts. I listened to a Christian news broadcast. I listened to a traditional newscast. I listened to a non-traditional news broadcast. And my thought was that somewhere in the middle there, somewhere I was going to hear absolute truth. You see, there are a lot of people, they don't want to know the truth. They just want you to tell them what they want to hear. I don't want to know that. I want to know the things that are true. I had a pastor that told me one time that when he went into the hospital and he would encounter believers, he said there was this person that he talked to, and he said, "Look, I don't want you to just deal with me in pity here. I want you to tell me the truth. Am I right with God or am I not right with God? Am I getting ready to go to heaven or am I not getting ready to go to heaven? This is life and death for me. This is reality for me." I you know, we live in such a fragile society now that we don't want people to tell us the cold, hard truth of the matter. People who want to confront you with the truth, they're labeled harsh, they're labeled mean-spirited or bullies or things like that. But truth is truth. Truth is truth. When I had my detached retina, the ophthalmologist that I have that still sees me once a year to this day, she told me the cold, hard realities. And she said, you know, and basically in these terms, you should have come sooner. I didn't know to come sooner because I didn't know what a detached retina was. I was being there to provide care for my wife when this thing happened to me. And I was like, you know what? This thing isn't getting better. I probably need you to get me in to see somebody here because this is not getting any better. And so the first thing she said was, "You should have come and seen me sooner." It's like, well, I will the next time if this ever happens. And then she proceeded to tell me, you know, the process that she was going to be able to implement to restore my vision. It wasn't going to be a painless process. It was going to be an inconvenient process, and I could take the easy way out and not do it. And she would go home, and she would, you know, basically the reality was if she did her best, she was going to go home. She was going to go to bed at night, and she was going to fall asleep and sleep like a baby. It was up to me. She was going to tell me the truth, but my response to the truth was very, very important. And so I was extremely compliant with her instructions. And I'm very grateful for that. So we need to know that God's judgment here in Romans chapter 2, where it talks about that God is going to make judgment not according to personality, not according to giftings or how well we were liked or how popular we were, anything like that. He's going to judge according to truth. Everything that happens is going to be, what did you do with my son Jesus? How did you respond to his offer of salvation? Did you allow him to be the Lord of your life? Did you allow him to bring change into your life? You see, a lot of people think God's changing. God's not. God doesn't change. God is immutable. It is impossible for him to change. There is no new and improved version of God that is coming because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything around you, everything else changes. Your bank account changes, your health changes, your hair color changes, your automobiles change, your house may change. Everything else around you changes. We have to change, but God's not changing. And God is going to judge me. He's going to judge you. And it is going to be a righteous judgment. It's going to be a judgment that is trustworthy. It's going to be a judgment in truth, not according to what we wanted people to see, but according to the reality that exists inside of us. And his judgment will not be flawed. It will not need to be appealed. There is no appeal above what God's judgment is. So if you think, and I think, that we can just live like we want to, condemn people who behave one way and then turn right around and do the exact same behavior, Paul writes to the Romans and says, that's not the way that it's going to work. I don't know about you, but I find it refreshing when people tell me the truth. I do. I find it absolutely refreshing. And so when that doctor presented it to me, it wasn't the personality presentation that I'm typically the most comfortable with. But I was also mature enough to say, you know what? This person isn't trying to make me happy emotionally. They're trying to help me physically. And I should do what they say. God wants us to be blessed spiritually and in every other way. And we need to allow him to say, I'm displeased with this. I am pleased with this. And let that judgment have greater merit than our feelings. If your feelings get hurt, oh well. I don't know about you, but I'd rather somebody hurt my feelings and me be saved than somebody not hurt my feelings and me end up dying in the process. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 25. And you see this mentioned some in Romans chapter 2 there, where it talks about verse number 4 of Romans chapter 2, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God in his goodness, by his Holy Spirit, he's going to lead us to that place of repentance. Everybody, I'll say it a third time, everybody has to take the journey of repentance. Your sin might be different than my sin. My sin's probably different than your sin. But God still wants to bring us to that place, not where we accept our sin, where we repent of it, abandon it, and begin the journey away from that process. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. One of the steps, one of the processes, the destination points that the Holy Spirit is going to bring us to in our guidance into all truth is that he's going to bring us to that place of repentance. We have a large segment of people now who have changed their minds about repentance. They want to carve out special caveats, special behaviors, special sections of their lives and say, I don't need to repent of this. This is the way that I was made. Well, after the sin in the Garden of Eden, man has been a fallen creature, and there have been a whole lot of people made a whole lot of different ways, all of which, you know, we're now into the billions and the billions of people who've lived since the beginning of time. And each and every one of them, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, has had to repent. Isaiah was a prophet. And he had already been in prophetic ministry. He had an encounter with God, and he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He realized that there was something that needed to take place in his life as well as in society. And an angel comes, cleanses his lips, and says, that problem has been dealt with. And then God says, whom can we send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I want to go. I want to go. I will go. I don't care how hard it is. I want to go so that people can experience the same blessing of repentance that I have had in my life. Do you realize that an unrepentant individual is capable of anything? There's not. You might say, I would never, ever, ever do that. I was in a conversation with someone here not too long ago, and they said, the thing that I said I would never do, I ended up doing. The thing that I said I would never do, I ended up doing. It's very important to remember mercy when we're dealing with people, lest we also fall prey in those exact same areas. We need to make sure that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us as much as necessary to that place of repentance. Whether it's pride, whether it's bitterness, unforgiveness, immorality, whatever it might be, theft, deception, we need God the Holy Spirit to put his finger on that and say, if you'll repent, I can guide you into truth from this point forward. You can get any place in your spiritual journey from that place of repentance. The truth that you can experience, it really does. It begins with saying yes to the Holy Spirit as he deals with sin in our life and saying, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. And I want you to know, when you ask him with sincerity, God's going to forgive you of that. John chapter 14 brings us into another element of this, the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. I got so many papers running around here. John chapter 14 and verse number 6, and then I'm going to read verse number 17. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Spirit of truth, this verse number 17, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, let me talk to Christians that may be listening to this, because one of the things that we are tempted to say is, well, the Word of God says, the Word of God says, the Word of God says. And for us, we have had that spiritual revelation that truth comes through Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And it says the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Okay? That's truth. That's truth. But we are dealing with people many times who are deceived. We are dealing many times with people who do not have a regenerate spirit. The Word of God is spirit, and it is spiritually discerned. And so a question that we need to ask them at many times is that question that Pilate asked, what is truth? What do people perceive as truth? And I'm not equating their perception of truth on the reality of the truth of God's word. I'm just saying we've got to start with the truth of where they are. If people are believing that they're worthless, it is going to be too far of a stretch for them to believe right away that they are not worthless, they are priceless. If people think that they are very much alive, it's not going to be very well received if we're saying, well, the Bible actually says you're spiritually dead. We have to begin this journey with the Holy Spirit leading them into truth. We got to find out where they are on the truth spectrum. We'll talk about where people are a little bit later, because there are all sorts of different reactions to the truth. And so in verse number 17, it says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. It's impossible for them to grasp this concept of absolute truth when they do not understand the value of Jesus being absolute truth, that the Word of God being absolute truth, and that truth comes because we know him, we know the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you, and he abides inside of us. That's, I don't know if you've ever watched one of these movies where a person is connected in a wireless manner to someone who knows more than they know, who has perceptions that they don't, who's listening in on the conversation and is able to give them the information that they need to proceed. But it's very intriguing. I'm not even sure how much of that is science fiction and how much of that is reality. But I do know this, the Spirit of God, when we're walking with him, where we're abiding with him, where he's dwelling inside of us and he's taking the journey with us, that the Bible talks about that he will give us the words to say when we are standing and testifying before kings, when we're testifying to people who do not have the same spiritual understanding that we do. Don't get angry. Don't get into a spiritual debate with someone. You know, if someone doesn't know something, my past says I need to figure out what is the best way to get them to understand this truth. When I taught in school, this is, you know, Ford used to have this television advertisement where a light bulb would light up. And so when I taught in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, there was this young lady. She was very bright, but she couldn't get fractions. She didn't understand them. And I literally spent weeks and months. I employed every sort of technique. And one day, God granted me the favor to be able to communicate something with her. And all of a sudden, she understood it. And she went right back to excelling academically, where up to that point in time, she was very frustrated. Don't get frustrated with people just because they haven't come to understand that Jesus is absolute truth yet. The Holy Spirit is working in them to convict them of sin so that they can know that God, the Holy Spirit, is not their enemy. He's their guide, and he wants to guide them into all truth. Let's make sure that we're just not telling people to take that journey, but we're taking that journey with the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you God for bless tuning us. In today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I'll fill my days with details. The choices of the earth, carry the yoke of worry, and all the burdens that it brings. So through the midst of all the rushing, you whisper to our hearts, and with your sweet voice, you say to us,